Hey, Upper East Siders, it's Amanda Page here, and I am joined by Ashley from On This Day Entertainment to recap episode 5 of Gossip Girl. Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey, how are you?
I'm doing so well. It is so great to be able to talk to you again. I know it's been a while since we last chatted about Bravo, so I was so excited that you said yes to talking about Gossip Girl.
XOXO, my friend. I loved the original. I couldn't wait for the reboot. And for the most part, like, it's totally delivering for me.
Oh, good. I was going to ask you how you felt about the original and how you felt like this was measuring up, but I'm glad to talk to an OG fan as well. It's been like half and half with my guests of who watched the original and who is just like new to the journey. So it's fun to get an OG lover like me.
So has anybody who's new to the journey, was anybody blind to the fact of who the original Gossip Girl was? Or did they all know going into it that it was Dan Humphrey?
I think most people like knew a general idea of it being
that it was Gossip Guy.
Yeah, like it was a guy named Dan, but they don't understand necessarily the implications of it. You know what I mean? But everybody knows that it's a brand new story. Like the teachers are Gossip Girl now, and that's like a different vibe. So what do you think about that, by the way, about the teachers being Gossip Girl?
I love, as a viewer of the show, it's amazing television. I love the fact that it's the teachers. I love the fact that we found out like within the first, like third of the first episode, like I love that it wasn't a mystery. And it's so funny as a former teacher, and I know you are a teacher. It's just hilarious to me that these teachers on the show, from the teachers involved in Gossip Girl to, and I'm sure we'll talk about the teacher later on who's having a sexual relationship with a student, like these teachers give zero F's. Like, are they like, do repercussions just not exist in this universe? I don't get it.
It's really, really alarming. I mean, it's disturbing to me. Like you said, as a teacher, I think anyone who's an adult feels this way, but especially, yes, especially for teachers, we're like, wait a second. These people are basically stalking their students, and whether they are actively involved in their lives or just reporting on their lives, it's so inappropriate. Like, I wouldn't even want to, as a teacher, overhear a conversation about my students' personal lives unless it was something they were like confiding in me for help with or something. You know what I mean? Like, of course, you'd be there for them for guidance or whatever, but like to overhear the drama between like Zoya and Julian and Obi and who's sleeping with who, it's like, no, teachers should not be involved in that and not reporting on it.
I would get, oh my gosh, like I would be horrified just hearing Mrs. Baker when I was looking for tampons at Target. Like there is nothing more horrifying than seeing a student out in public and to be going out and seeking that secretly is just beyond my comprehension. But again, as just a viewer of the show, I love that like the teachers are taking back the control of these like totally narcissistic, entitled, just these kids with superiority complexes. And I love that they're taking the narrative back. So I love the fact that the teachers are Gossip Girl. And the fact that they threw that one teacher under the bus with the firewall, like, savage, and I'm here for it.
That was so wild. I couldn't believe that they actually went against one of their own, because I was like, wow, you guys have like really taken a dark turn like pretty quickly to be throwing somebody else under the bus, and even with each other, like this episode, and we'll get into it, but like you can start to see that they're not agreeing on what to do. And it's like, okay, like I would be really, really shaking in my boots if I was a teacher involved in Gossip Girl right now, because you never know when someone's going to rat you out. Like you just never know.
Well, and there, gosh, the woman, what's her name? The blonde Kate Keller.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Does she just sound like she's doing a Winona Ryder impression to you? I'm like, her voice sounds exactly like Winona Ryder. My husband said it was Jennifer Aniston. He's like, why is she like doing a Jennifer Aniston impression? I'm like, it's Winona Ryder. And we will not agree on that, but it is a Winona Ryder impression. I cannot get over this. I'm really having a hard time with that.
You can see my face right now because I cannot believe that I did not put that together before, but that is now I hear it and now I'll never not hear Winona Ryder. That is so hilarious.
And she looks like she's 14. She looks like Jenny Humphrey in a blazer. Like, why does she look like younger than the students? She legit looks younger than the actual teenagers on the show, but she dresses matronly AF.
Yeah, that's true. She needs a wardrobe. She needs Monet and Luna actually to like be helping her out.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So finally, we're going to call them by their names and not the minions. Like, are we going to get more from them? I want more from them. And calling Monet, like the clueless. Like, I grew up watching Clueless. It's like my favorite movie of all time. And as Cher Horwitz teaches us in Clueless, a Monet is something that's beautiful from far away, but up close, it's a big old mess.
Yeah.
We're going to call her Monet.
I felt there was a reason why I thought that name was not appropriate for her. And now that you mention it, it's probably because of Clueless, because of that reference. But I actually think I'm starting to like them better, but I agree that in the beginning they felt very surface level and not getting very deep. I still want to hear more about their backstories. I feel like both of them could be really interesting characters, but right now they're very much like working for Julian. And so that was basically like how the episode started. So basically we find out that Julian and Zoya are closer than ever. They're actually like being sisters and being friends, and Monet and Luna are like not about it. And the only thing that's helping their case is basically that Julian's follower count has actually grown since she took a stance against the bullying. And that's like all that Monet and Luna care about. They like think that they are PR reps in high school.
The whole thing is bizarre, but it's like this girl has like fashion shows based around her. Like, she is a big deal in this universe. This Julian, JC, is a huge deal. And it's just very bizarre. And the value that these kids, and it's interesting because it's a look inside, but just the value of social media, the fact that they're like doing all this for stories on school grounds. It's just, I really, really hope that this is like a hyperbole of that world. And that's not really how kids exist.
Yeah. I would like to think that, but I really do wonder. I don't personally know a lot of teenagers of that age, because most of my family members are a little bit younger. I don't really know anyone in high school at the moment. I just hope that that it is an exaggeration, because it's a lot to put on kids already. Social media is a lot of pressure, but I do think that Julian having a famous dad might play into that a little bit more. Her kind of having that already kind of baseline following, people interested in her, and then her being rich and living in New York City. So it might not be like that for everybody, maybe just this world.
Right. Exactly. And she's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she has the life. So yeah, again, as a TV viewer, I'm here for it. But there's just a lot to, you just have to suspend your belief in the reality of how real life this is for a New York student, you know, because I want it to be real. It's coming out of a pandemic world, which, ha ha, like, we're ever coming out of a freaking pandemic at this rate.
Never.
What a concept. But like, in this world, they actually came out of that. And yeah, I love this show. I love where it's going. And I'm with you. I'd love to get more from the minions.
Yeah. So we find out that this is a Halloween episode, and there's a pretty big party going on with a costume contest, and Monet and Luna really want Julian to win, because I guess the winner gets like a spread in Vogue and like a couple other important magazines. And then we get the first taste of her competition from another school, which are some other, I guess, influencers who basically won, I think, in the years past. And so it's like this big, huge deal. They have to win the costume contest. And then they find out that at the girls' school, the other school, a student brought a gun to school, and they're doing all of these Instagram stories. They're doing a clubhouse room talking about it. And they think that they're going to get sympathy votes. And I'm like, guys, the real story here is that someone brought a gun to school and you're still worried about the costume contest. Like, what?
Yeah, very bizarre. Very bizarre. But as somebody who loves Halloween, I'm actually decorating this Friday the 13th. No shame in my game. I was like, there's enough gun violence on TV. I was like, can we skip to the Halloween party, please?
That is so fun. So you're already going to be decorating in the middle of August.
I love Halloween, and it just being that it's Friday the 13th, it just feels right. So I'm just gonna go with it. I'm
I
just
support it.
doing what I want to do. Thank you. Thank you. I
I
still have
totally do.
my Valentine's Day wreath on my door. So the fact that I haven't taken down Valentine's Day and I'm going straight into Halloween is basically where my life is right now.
Skipped a couple things, but I'm not really sure what would be taking place in between anyway. You know, I'm ready for spooky season. So if you're ready, I'm ready.
Let's do this, girl.
So Audrey tells us that her and Aki are trying to work things out, but you can tell there's still a little bit of tension between her and Max. And so she's kind of been avoiding him, which I think is the right move. But what do you make of this? Like, she cheated on Aki with Max. Like, do you think she
But
should still
Aki
be
cheated on
friends?
her with Max. Like, it's all very complicated. Going back to the first season, like, I think that it's very obvious that, like, each character in this series is like a throwback to one of the previous characters. And Max is our Chuck Bass. And I hated Chuck Bass. I never found anything likable about him. I was never on his team. I hate him and Blair together, which makes the show very complicated. But I love Max. I love his sexuality. I'm into who he is, like his personality. I love the story of his parents is fascinating. Like Max is exactly what I need in that type of character. He's just hitting all the marks for me.
He's like Chuck, but not
And it's hard.
problematic.
Right. Yes, exactly. Like Chuck just always came off like such a douchebag F boy. Like just he, I never saw any redeeming qualities to him. And I really am cheering for Max, even though he's obviously got a lot going on. He's having an affair with his teacher. He has slept with two of his best friends who are in a relationship. I'm rooting for, is it Aki? Aki? Yes. I'm rooting. I always want to call him Ahi, but that's tuna. I'm rooting for Aki and Audrey. And Audrey's mom, I'm actually a fan of hers. I just watched this show. Have you ever watched Younger?
Okay, I watched maybe like a season of it, but I never really kept up. But is she in that show?
On the very, like, maybe last two seasons, she comes in, and I loved her character on Younger. I think she's so beautiful, and I want more from her on this show. Like, I'm feeling. This is probably too old of a reference for you cute little young thing, but I want her to be more of a Jackie Taylor from 90210 because Jackie also had an alcohol problem. It severely affected her teenage daughter, who was Kelly Taylor. In this case, it's Audrey. And but we saw a lot more of like a glamorous, desirable side of Jackie Taylor, whereas this woman is very depressed and relatable AF girl, but as far as something that I want to see on TV in this kind of setting, like seeing her prance around New York City, like miserable on the inside, but perfect on the outside is kind of what I'm looking for.
So maybe we'll get that as she kind of gets her groove back, because we do find out in this episode that her mom, Audrey's mom, tells her that they need to sell their place in New York because they're broke. I mean, she doesn't have a job, she doesn't have any money. Her husband left her and her business is not doing well, and she wants to move back to her hometown in Connecticut. And I feel like Audrey is being such a brat about it. Like, I get it. I've been a teenager, you know, you don't, you know, when your parents try to rip you away from your friends, I totally understand that. But it's like, what does she want her mom to do? Like, I feel like, yes, she is a teenager, but I think she's old enough to understand that this is like a little bit out of her mom's control at this point. So
Right.
I want her to I think by the end, we see that she's starting to understand a little bit more that her mom is really going through it. But right. I felt bad for her mom at that moment where she's basically like, well, I'm not going anywhere. It's like, well, what do you want me to do? I can't afford this place. Like, right. What do you want me to do?
I felt like a lot of that came from like the trauma that she's endured because of her mom's alcoholism, depression, yeah. just the repercussions of the choices that she's made throughout her life. So I really did feel for her because she is a teenager. And for a lot of the relationship with her mom, also going back to 90210, it's like Kelly and Jackie, but like the kid had to do a lot of the parenting. And I feel bad for Audrey in a lot of ways. I see your perspective and I respect that. But like the mom making breakfast for her was just total manipulation. Like she doesn't do that. But at the same time, like, mom's a freaking grown up. When there's no money, there's no money. What are you going to do? Like, you can't just live there because you want to live there. Like, there's reality past like me being empathetic for your trauma.
But it is such a good point that you bring up that she's had to be the parent. So it's like, she's had to be the adult so much, but now, now I can't be the adult and decide where I'm going to live and what I'm going to do with my life. Like, now you're going to be the parent when you're ripping me away from my entire life. So I totally get that kind of like, she's like, wait a second. Oh, you're cooking right. for me. Oh, you're telling me I have to move now. Like, thanks for getting out of bed, but it's a little right. late for that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then her friends were not at all giving her what she needed. Like, oh, my mom is being so insensitive. She's ripping me away from this world that I have with you guys. And they are all just talking about their costumes and where's Gossip Girl. They are so not involved in her. And again, I really like Audrey. She came out with so many funny lines. Like, she has really good lines that I think get overlooked a lot.
Yeah, I think that she's a really good character and she's absolutely stunning. And I feel like she's a really good friend to everyone. Mm-hmm. And at this point, up until this point, I felt like Julian has been there for her, but this episode, she completely ignored her. Like she didn't have any time for her or anything like that. I'm glad to see that as we see at the end, they all kind of come and be there for her. Definitely. This episode, she was definitely like just screaming into the void and nobody was listening.
It was so sad. I was like, somebody listen to her. Like, she is crying for help here, people. Like, she's going through it.
Yeah. So Obi seems to be feeling weird about his relationship with Zoya, and they seem to be having a little bit of a disconnect, which is interesting timing because she meets a new guy on the bus. And as I'm reading my notes, I said, I think this could maybe be the beginning of something, and they run into each other later and exchange numbers. But at this point, we just think, oh, he's like a new friend. Maybe he's flirting a little bit, but we don't really know the whole story.
I got weird vibes from him from the get.
So you like, knew.
I didn't know what, but I knew that there was something weird. Just like, he just happened to be on the same bus. He just happened to be peeking her phone. It just, again, in this world where it goes back to like the original show, like, yes, we're on HBO and it's a lot more risque, but there's like a lot of situational things that are still very what is the network called?
CW.
I'm like, CV is not right. CV is not it. CW. Like, so they're like, I feel like some of the situational things, especially with this character, this episode, who we learn isn't who he says he is. The situational things kind of just made me believe that he wasn't to be trusted.
I kind of thought that he was going to turn out to be the guy who brought a gun to school. I don't know why that was my prediction, but that it wasn't like he was not to be trusted, just that he was like going through some shit. And then, but I just had like a little bit of an inkling, but I wasn't really sure. At this point, I definitely didn't foresee what was going to happen. And somewhere later down the line, I think after he showed up at the party is when I was like, okay, something's up. But right. before that, I really didn't know that he was like looking for Zoya. Like, you know,
yeah, actively looking for, yeah. And it definitely, I mean, he thought she might be Gossip Girl. And I love that that's like, because that's what we did in the first series. The whole first series was us like trying to figure out who Gossip Girl was the whole time. And we had no idea who it was. Like, we truly had no idea it was Dan Humphrey. Hello. But now we're going through that. We're going through that same experience, but we actually know who Gossip Girl is. But I'm not convinced Gossip Girl won't like morph into something bigger than this small group of teachers. It kind of already is, because people like submit things to Gossip Girl. So it's a collection of everybody's perspectives and whatnot. But I think what Gossip Girl is going to evolve.
I agree. And we're already seeing Kate Keller is like the teacher in charge, who like up until this point was the only one who seemed interested in continuing it. And now she's actually gotten a conscience, and she actually feels some responsibility for what's been going on, and she wants to end it. But the rest of the teachers, or especially Jordan, her one friend teacher that she's closest with, he's now getting into it and he doesn't want to stop. But I am looking forward to the time where it changes hands. But I think you're right. Even though we know who Gossip Girl is, nobody else does on the show. So it would be weird if there wasn't at least someone trying to figure out who is Gossip Girl. Like, we need to shut this down. Like, I'm surprised that the students aren't more invested into figuring out who Gossip Girl is.
Yeah. And something about the teacher, Kate, oh my gosh, the Winona Ryder voiced actress. She needs to control her damn settings on her phone. She's chilling with Zoya's dad, like planning some private tutoring, and her shit just, he like hands the phone back and that shit just starts blowing up like crazy. Get it under control. How do you not have that on silent and have to go through different things to get there? It should not be that easy.
It should not. I could not believe that she handed her phone over to a parent of her school with Gossip Girl logged in on her phone. Like, I understand she thinks, well, I didn't post anything, I'm not going to get any notifications. Well, first of all, her notifications would be going off like crazy. She has like a million followers, right? Like,
right.
She is getting tips and DMs at all times. She should not have push notifications on her phone for Gossip Girl, an anonymous account. That is mistake number one, Kate Keller. Mistake number one.
Let's put this on the list of her mistakes, because it's more of a scroll than a list at this point.
Yes, yes, definitely. So Aki is hung up on Max. We can tell he's still hung up on him, and he's concerned to see him having a relationship with the teacher, Rafa. And I agree with Aki. Like, I'm concerned too. It's completely inappropriate, and it could get Max into a sticky situation. And also, Rafa, like, what is Rafa doing? He's a teacher. He shouldn't be doing this. So he confronts.
He went to a costume party. Yeah, I know. The fact that he went to the costume party with literally only a mask on, like hand in hand with Max, like on the dance floor. I'm like, we know who you are under that that mask, teacher. Like, who does he think he's fooling?
He's out of his mind, and Aki basically threatens to expose him to Gossip Girl. Do you think that was the right move? The threat? Like, do you think that he should have done that? Or do you think he should have just gone to like Max's parents and said, like, this is what's happening with Max? Like, I feel like that would have been like a better move.
He's reached out. I mean, he's called the house looking for Max before. Like, I feel like the conversation that he had with, you know, one of Max's fathers, the one who's transgender, like the fact that they had that little, very short, but very personal conversation in that short time. Like, I feel like they have enough of a relationship to where he could have said something, but they're teenagers. And that's like something we have to remember. Like, a lot of these like mature decisions that you and I would probably make as adults are not in their realm of what they're able to kind of handle at this point in their lives developmentally. So I don't think that was the right thing to do, but like, if we're going to believe these are 17-year-old kids, like I'm okay with the choice.
Right. Like, just have him do something out of desperation, trying to get the relationship to be over.
Emotional, act out of emotion. He's a 17-year-old kid. So yeah. And it made a good storyline. And wow, we really saw Rafa.
Rafa, I think. Yeah.
Rafa for who he is. in the sense of how he turned that around on the underage child and totally manipulated that situation. And, yeah, we knew this guy didn't have the most credibility. I mean, we learned later on that Max isn't the first kid that he's ever been with. Like, we learned that this is just a pattern for him. So this is not a great person here.
Yeah. And his explanation that every person he's been with has been of age, which, by the way, we find out later that Max is 17. So it's not like legal adult. It's more like age of consent, I guess. But either way, it doesn't matter. You're a teacher at the school. You're in a position of power. It is an inappropriate relationship. It is not okay. It is not okay. It should never be viewed as acceptable. I felt that way about Pretty Little Liars. That's like the one thing about the show that, like, I just...
Oh, Ezra. Oh, and I loved Ezra and Arya, but like, ew.
You watch it as an adult now and you're like, oh, wait a second. Like, that should have never happened and they should have never ended up together. I feel like that, but that's a conversation for another day.
Which I can't wait to have with you. Oh my God. Yes. I can't believe they're bringing PLL back.
I know.
I read the first 11 of the books. Like, I was so invested in PLL for so long.
Oh my it's God. Ridiculous. That's exciting. Okay. Well, we definitely have to chat because I have something up my sleeve. Okay. Ooh. So Julian and Zoya basically decide that they're going to do a couple's costume for the party, and Obi, you can tell he's like getting annoyed. He just doesn't want anything to do with it, but Julian and Zoya decide to dress as Beyonce and Solange because they are sisters, but like sometimes people paint them as rivals and they're kind of like doing an homage to like that kind of gossip that's surrounding them. But when they get to the party, they see a ton of people dressed as Beyonce and Solange, which ruined their chance of winning. And I actually thought that it was Obi who gave it away. I thought Obi like betrayed them. In my mind, that was my note. Like, did Obi do this?
That's actually a really good call. I don't see Obi doing that necessarily because like that would just invest too much in that. But that would have made a really good storyline. Like, they need to hire you to submit some ideas, I think.
Because I was just like, oh, he clearly like doesn't love this friendship. I mean, he has to be around. I mean, I think he's glad that they get along, but like, he now has to be around his ex literally all the time. And Zoya doesn't want to like make her uncomfortable. So she's not about the PDA around him. And he's just feeling a little bit weird, but we find out that's not the case. He's not the leak. But basically Pippa and Bianca, who are their rivals, were dressed as Serena and Blair. And so Zoya and Julian switched their costumes to be Chuck and Dan. And I personally loved the reference to the OG Gossip Girl. I know that like a lot of new viewers won't get it, but I was so obsessed.
Loved it. Loved it. I wish they would have picked not the Serena and Blair aesthetic that they did. I wish they would have done a more of a throwback to their days at Constance and would have had like Blair with the headband and Serena with the tie and the untucked. I just wish they would have gone for more of that look personally. But yes, the throwback to the original Gossip Girl. I loved once the two girls, what is it, Bianca and
Pippa, I think her name was.
Pippa. Bianca and Pippa, like every basic girl's two dog names. Like every basic girl has or their friend has a dog named Bianca and or Pippa. Let's be totally honest. But yeah, I love the throwback to the OG Gossip Girl. It was fun and I definitely am here for those type of things. I hope we get some like cameos. And I know like Blake Lively's probably not going to do it, but maybe some of the more bit character. Oh, I just said bit characters and oh my God, let's insert Army Hammer joke here.
I was so happy to see Nelly Yuki because she is someone who I really liked from the original. And so I was happy to see that cameo. And I feel like she was someone who like could come in and we'd be happy to see her, but like, she doesn't need to have like a huge role in the reboot, obviously, but I was happy to see her. So basically at the party, this is where things like start to get a little bit confusing. So Obi, he did not sabotage the costumes. That was Monet. She's decided she's done with Julian and she wants to be like Pippa and Bianca's PR person. But Obi, he gave Nelly Yuki tickets to this party, and his parents know her. And he did this because he found out that Zoya's new friend, Simon, who he was sketched out by, works for Nelly at New York Magazine. And he wanted to confront Simon with Nelly. And basically we find out that Simon was researching who Gossip Girl is, and he thought it was Zoya. So this whole plan kind of like blew up in Zoya's face. Like she kind of like realized that her friend was not really her friend. And I honestly felt bad for her that Obi didn't just like tell her what he discovered. He like concocted a plan to like embarrass her almost.
Right. And that like, again, just felt very unlike Obi, but at the same time, like that's something that Zola was struggling with throughout the episode. Like he says the things that, you know, I kind of want to hear like about the person that I think he wants to be, but she kind of has a doubt of like, that's who he really is. And like, how can we have so much in common philosophically and socially, you know, with social awareness, however, we come from just such different backgrounds. I mean, obviously she is a female person of color. He's a cis white guy and he's extremely rich.
Wealthy. Right. Exactly.
So, and like, I mean, it's like every polar opposite.
Yeah. And I actually, in the first couple of episodes, I think maybe like the first two episodes, I was not into Obi, and I felt like he was coming on a little too strong, and it was a little bit too much like, I'm woke and I like am a social justice warrior kind of thing or whatever. And I mean that in the ironic way, like he's like trying too hard. And it was like, right. You know, they said he was the guiltiest of the guilty rich and the richest. And I really felt like that. But then episode 3 and 4, I was like, I don't remember which episode it was because I covered them at the same time last week with Kendrick. But when he was talking to Zoya's dad, I was like, he kind of seems like he does actually like walk the walk. He doesn't just talk the talk. Like he holds his family accountable about things. But I can see where Zoya's hesitation comes in, because it's like, you have to remember, like, he is still privileged, like AF. Like, no matter what he says is the right thing to do, he still lives luxuriously. He still lives in his privilege. And so, like, how much does he really do compared to how much he talks about? So I think that was an interesting point coming from her. And maybe that's starting to wear on her a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So and we'll see. He has walked the walk. I mean, I really love that scene when they were getting school supplies. Like that was just so love. I thought that was a really great moment for the show, because that's when JC was finally like, wow, this is who he's always been. And I love that how Obi is Obi and how these two sisters see him so differently, because Zoya sees him as this guy who she's not quite convinced she thinks he wants to be who he says he is, but her sister Julian is like, no, he's always wanted to do these things. He's always wanted to do these philanthropic, you know, these gestures. And she's always just kind of blown it off because it's not part of her aesthetic for the day on Instagram.
Right. Like, it's good for her brand to be with a good guy, but it's not necessarily something that she wants to highlight all the time on her platform.
Especially at the beginning of the series. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like she's evolving as a character. She's evolving, just, you know, becoming closer to her sister who just comes from such, you know, a different background than she does. So yeah, it's an interesting story. And honestly, I feel like really bad for Zoya, honestly, with this whole thing with this guy from the New Yorker spying on her, befriending her and manipulating her, because she's like already the fish out of water, and she's already kind of having a hard time finding her place. She has this relationship with Obi and she's not sure she can quite trust exactly who she is. And now this guy comes and she really starts to trust him, and he like gets her. He was so good in his manipulation of her, saying that he was at this school on scholarship and he doesn't, you know, have the same background as the kids in his school. Like he did a number on her, and she's she's a good girl and I like her very much. And I know there's a darkness to her. Obviously we all have it, but yeah, she's a really good character. She's a lot, there's a lot more good in her than I think there was in Blair and Serena. Like both of them had a lot more darkness, I think, than we see from Zoya so far.
I agree with that. And I think we've seen more of Julian's dark side than we have with Zoya. But I think Zoya is someone who we can all be like rooting for. The only thing that she's done that I didn't necessarily agree with is start a relationship with Obi so quickly after, you know, but then again, she doesn't really owe Julian anything. I know that Julian was responsible for why she was able to get into Constance and get her scholarship. Although Julian didn't even tell her that. So it's like, you didn't even tell me that you did this for me and you did it behind my back. So it's kind of like that kind of ruins that. But it's interesting because now that we're starting to see Julian changing a little bit, I'm just now thinking this. I hadn't thought this until we were talking, but I wonder if her and Obi will have a rekindling at some point. Like if Zoya and Obi don't work out, or even if they are still together, like if Julian starts to see him differently now that she has this kind of like new perspective and she's trying to be like above what she used to be all about, which was superficial stuff. So like that might be interesting and that could cause more feud between Zoya and Julian.
I'd love that. That's a great, that needs to happen because, okay, season two, hello.
Yes, yes. See, hire me, guys. I have good ideas.
Exactly.
So Audrey basically gets shit-faced at this party because, like you said, everyone's ignoring her. She's upset about her mom and she's upset about Aki and Max all having these like conversations and stuff. And she realizes that like, she wants to talk to her mom. Her phone rings. She thinks it's her mom, but it's someone at the hospital saying her mom is there. And that was just so heartbreaking because I know the panic of like getting that call of like, oh my gosh, your loved one is in the hospital and you don't know like what's going to happen. And the last conversation they had didn't go very well. So thankfully we find out she's going to be okay. And all of her friends are there to kind of comfort her, but we do find out basically like it's a long road of recovery. So I wonder if that means that they're going to be like staying put, like if she's going to stay in the hospital or rehab or something.
That's interesting because I just don't know. I mean, if that's the case, like where is this storyline going to go?
Right.
Like how far does that go? It's an interesting turn of events. It could happen. I mean, if somebody struggles like this woman does with her mental health and addiction, it's very plausible that this could be how, you know, her story goes. But like as somebody, it is a TV show. Like, are we just going to watch her hospitalized? Are we going to see her like move into like, what does that look like? I don't know where that goes.
I wonder if at this point, like, if Audrey's dad is going to step in and kind of be like, okay, you're going to be under my care at this point because your mom isn't fit at the moment. She needs help. That could allow her to stay in the city. I can imagine Audrey moving at this point and, you know, like leaving everybody to be in Connecticut an hour and a half away and not being at Constance. So I don't know. I guess we're going to have to see. This was technically the mid-season finale, although wow. It still says that there's going to be an episode next week, which I hope because I scheduled my podcast recording. So if not,
yes, then we'll need have this to happen. But,
yeah. So speaking of it being the mid-season finale, basically what happens is Kate Keller, she's hanging out with Zoya's dad, which was completely inappropriate, and she should be fired for so many reasons. But in that conversation she has with him, not about Gossip Girl, but he basically inspires her to put her all back into Gossip Girl, and she decides she's going to revamp the account. She wipes the history clean. So what do you think is going to happen next? Like, do you think she's going to act independently of the other teachers? Do you think, like, what do you think is going to happen with Gossip Girl?
It's a weird situation because of those other two teachers and the teacher that was fired.
Right.
Why isn't she retaliating?
I don't know.
I feel that's just something that we've kind of just let go. And it's like, no, this is this teacher's universe. I don't necessarily that she would believe that she would like throw others under the bus just to be a dick. But like, I think she would probably do whatever she needed to do to get her career back. So that's just something that's been left that I'm just like, but the guy has fallen for her. What's his name? Jordan, the teacher. So she's going to be able to manipulate him because of the power of, you know, the P. And as far as the other teacher, I don't know. I have a hard time believing she just goes out of it quietly. I have a hard time. It's just weird. These teachers aren't like best friends. It's not like they're like really a connected group of humans that are like ride or dies. Like it feels like they're just like casual friends. So it would make more sense, I think, for Gossip Girl to be the single teacher, the Kate Keller teacher. But I don't know how that plays off for the other two. Does she just keep them along so they don't rat her out? I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, if I really don't know what's going to happen. I do feel like it has to change hands at some point. Probably not by Kate, like probably not Kate wanting it to happen. Like, I think it might be like an accidental thing. That would be an interesting storyline. If Kate continues to be Gossip Girl, then I do think there needs to be some people looking for Gossip Girl and potentially finding out her identity. I think that's another direction it could go. I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens next. I feel like the show is starting to get its footing a little bit. I am like interested to see next week. In the past couple of weeks, I've been like, okay, that was a good episode. And then like my mind literally forgets it until the next week. And this episode, I was like, okay, so I have a couple more days and I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. So I do think it's kind of getting its footing, which is good.
So what if, and this would just be plot twist time, so since now the teacher, Miss Keller, has this inappropriate, weird friendship with Zoya's dad, what's his name? Is it Nick? Yes, Nick Loft. What if he somehow gets involved in Gossip Girl as a way to keep his daughter safe from the world around her that he reached out to the teacher in the first place for? He's like, she used to be the kid who like was constantly studying and worried about her grades and this and that. And now she's like focused on what she's wearing and lighting and all these things. Like, what if this is like, what if he is Gossip Girl? Like,
I mean, I do think that if he continues to hang out with Kate, there's no way he's not going to know what she's up to because she's just too sloppy. She has it on her phone.
I'm never going to get over the fact that I don't have my notifications on for anything. Like, there's nothing that gets my phone to ring like that. It's just like text messages, but like no social media dings like that at me. That's insane.
I guess they have to do it for the show because otherwise how would they show her being like, oh my gosh. You know, like they have to show her getting the notification, but it is stressful as a viewer. It is very stressful.
And she needs to stop handing her phone to parents. That's something else that needs to happen. I mean, that needs to end right now.
If she just had a burner phone for Gossip Girl, that would be better.
That would make sense. Yeah. And we should have known there was something wrong with that guy from the New Yorker when he pulled out a flip phone. Like, when he, with that very first interaction, he pulled out the flip phone. I'm like, nope, he's targeting you, girl. He's targeting you.
You're like, no one has a flip phone. Where can you even get them?
They're not one functioning. Like, you would have one like as an ironic prop maybe, but not a functioning cell phone.
This is actually so random and so funny, but I went to the Verizon store, I don't know, it was maybe like a year and a half ago. And there were some little kids there playing with the phones and they go over to the flip phone and they're playing with it. And they were like, oh my God, look at this cool phone. Like, look at it. And they kept like flipping it up and down because they thought it was so cool. And I was like, wait, are these going to make a comeback? Like, now kids think that that's cool because they don't see them.
Okay, tell me a better feeling than hanging up on somebody and flipping the phone shut.
It'll never be the same. Now we just fumble around for the button.
Yeah, exactly. Or like if it's on like a FaceTime or a Zoom, like screw you. And then you're like, I can't get this off. Yeah, no, the simple flip, the sound of the flip, the physical, like, it was dramatic, and I miss those days.
Justice for flip phones. Well, thank you so much for recapping this episode of Gossip Girl with me. This has been so much fun. Tell everyone where they can follow you on Instagram, TikTok, all of the places.
All of the places. Follow me on Instagram. That would be so cool. At On This Day Entertainment. That's me, Ashley. I'm new to TikTok. I've been on there for like 2-3 weeks now. It's like fun, and I'm not like scared of it anymore. So I'm TikToking now. I sound so 41. That's at On This Day ENT for entertainment. I'm on Facebook. There's a Facebook page. There's a Facebook group called The Fanny Pack. And every time I have one of these fun conversations with you or anybody else in the Bravo reality TV pop culture community, it makes me really want to bring my podcast back. So this conversation was very helpful and very inspiring for me to possibly get out of my funk and just paranoia and just fear of failure. So thank you for granting me this time and space.
I would love to have your podcast come back. I always have fun. I've been a guest on it before and I love listening to it. You always have a great time. And I love that you bring in the nostalgia from like things that have happened in the past, not just current. And so, I mean, if your podcast comes back, that would be awesome. I'm subscribed. So the best way to find out if On This Day Entertainment does come up with a new episode is just go ahead and follow on Apple Podcasts, because then when Ashley does come out with a new episode, it'll just pop right up on your phone. So everyone make sure you do that. And reviews for both of our podcasts are so appreciated. Reviews make a huge difference for us. And if you don't know how, send me a DM, because I've gotten DMs from people who have said, hey, I'm just not sure what to do a review and I can help you. So please reach out if you have questions. I feel
like they don't make it easy either. Like in everybody's defense, he's had a hard time figuring it out. Like, I feel like it's not an easy process. And if you're on an iPhone is like the best way. I don't even know how to do it otherwise if you're not on an iPhone.
You might have to be on an iPhone. And I do know that some of my friends had some issues with reviewing, and it was like, you can randomly be on a podcast page where there's no review option. And then you have to like click a bunch of times to get back to the main page. It's basically very confusing, but if you're listening and you have any questions, please DM me. I will help you find a way to send me a 5-star review.
Help us help you. Feel free to send me a DM also. And, it's always so nice to talk to you, Amanda. Thank you so much for having me on. And oh my gosh, XOXO.
XOXO Gossip Girl. Thanks for listening to It's All Happening. Remember to subscribe to my podcast and leave a 5-star review. If you have nothing nice to say, my DMs are always open. Please follow me on Instagram at It's All Happening X and on Twitter at happening_pod. Until next time,